say is I hope from the last lecture and the last tutorial, we have gained some confidence about these Feynman rules. They're not just coming out of nowhere. You can actually derive them. And the derivation isn't as hard as you think, okay? So today, we will be, I guess, regular graduate student, which this is also a skill that's nice, is that you hand some rules and you know how to apply. And you know that deep in you, you're like, okay, just go back to LSC, I will find these rules. But in lieu of the time, we'll say we'll delay all this, okay? We'll delay all these rules finding fun part about the Maxwell to QFT 2, which Dan promised that you will learn the more superior way to quantize photon, and it says that I should not, I don't know, poison you with the canonical quantization. There is a serious discussion, you'll be like, don't. Since, you know, Dan has been helping with our course throughout, and he has this teeny request, so I should respect. Okay, so the first thing, so I'm just going to wave my hands hard, sometimes harder than the other, to tell you the rest of the rules about the QED. You learn the most of the rules, the most important rules about the Dirac yourself in the tutorial, and you saw one example, couple example in the lecture. And now I'm just going to wave my hands hard. Okay. Well, this one I'm not. So first one is, this is what it is. You see an interaction. You see that it doesn't matter where A mu is. A mu doesn't have a spinner index. Write whatever you want. Where suits your eyes, would it be correct? And for any vertex, excluding some more weird ones, okay, but most of the vertex rule, this is how we go. So what do you think this one goes in the LSC reduction formula? It's a vertex, it will show up in some correlation function, yeah? Remember, this is what we say. Okay, don't worry too much where these things come from some process. But if you put this vertex in, I'm not super excited about the constant. So if you put this vertex in, what do you think this will go? Contracted with something he can contract with. Yeah? So that not is if weak, you apply weak theorem, turn into some propagator, it's not gonna belong to our vertex rule. So what about this guy?
Are you contract the one with the bar?
Yeah, better contract it with a bar. So still not a part of our vertex rule. And this, well, here it's of course difficult, but now it also has a partner contracted together. We have no idea what a contracted will give us, but it's going to be contracted with something, because if you know you have one thing left over, and then it's going to be zero. So the point is, this is how we argue about a vertex as, oh, field disappear because they contracted. Another field, okay, disappear because it's contracted with something. And then another field, fields are good, really good. Then what are you left with is this, and you put your little eye there. Here we go, vertex rule. This is legit. For this rule, I don't have to wave my hands. For any vertex you can think of, that's how you handle situation. Delete some field and put an eye. Okay? far so good? Here. Well, here is a sample thing that could occur in your interview. Is that I'll see that here is a fermion going into a vertex. I know it's a fermion because I also draw the little momentum. If they're together, it's a fermion. If they're not together, it's an antifermion. And I would ask you, what's the Feynman rule? That I'm not going to ask you that because I never ask my students to remember Feynman rules because they don't make any sense to remember. Because you have that piece of paper I gave you, right? So look it up. Okay, but now I'm going to ask, how could you make this? Can you restore the index of this? What index does this thing have?
A spinner index.
A spinner index. Because it's a spinner. It's a solution of the Dirac equation.
Does it matter whether it's downstairs or upstairs?
Not really, but conventionally I write this down and then the other one up.
Yeah,
the spin. When the experimentalist send you a photon, send you an electron, they know what they are doing. Oh, actually, we decided they don't know what they are doing later. But in principle, if it's a single fermion coming at you, you must find a frame that you know it's a spin up or spin down, and that there's only two choices. Yeah.
So the A is always fixed, right? We always work on the particular basis that you.
You always have that spinner index.
So it's not exactly relevant for us to write the A there.
Oh, I'm just demonstrating you how your interview will go. Anytime you write me a thing, I'll ask you to restore the index. So that's the universal question. I mean, you are going to write something. And hopefully it doesn't carry the index all the time. Otherwise, my head will explode. But when I ask you and pinpoint things as, what are the indexes? You had better know your indexes, okay? Otherwise, so now I'm claiming, analogously, look at me waving hands at a lower level. I mean, but that's just what people conventionally know as a photon, some wavy lens. You can use whatever lens you want, but eventually we are all exhausted about these lines. And there are some more clever ways of, like, these things shows up. But we don't have to. So this is canonically a photon would look like. And what do you think? Okay, now I ask you, what is U? How did you find U?
Solving the Dirac equation.
So there must be some other equation we can solve from the Maxwell theory, and we will get solution. So just trust me. This will be our external leg rule. All you can go through the calculation again and do the LHC reduction formula and argue everything else disappear, and this solution is left over.
Wait, where did we solve it from?
The Maxwell equation. There is a Maxwell Lagrangian. You can write down the equation, the equation of motion. If you want me to write down, I can write down. Here, free photon, okay. Right? And then you will write down something like this. And now you can assume you are a plane wave, plug it in, you will solve some solutions.
That has indices, right?
That's right. Very good. See, that's my next question. What are the indices? This one is hopefully clear. It's a spinner, and now it becomes a vector, because we all know that this A mu is a vector field. Well, okay, sorry. The A mu didn't show up, so that's not very good. Should be good with my definitions. Okay, but the point is, we're solving for A mu, we're going to get something carry a mu. And these people very sloppy, this become very sloppy. They just randomly put a lambda there and it says that it's literally like the solution index.
What?
That what it is, right? The spin index is that the labeling, remember we have U plus 1/2, U minus 1/2, V plus 1/2. That really labels the how many solution we are. If you keep track of all the S with U, LS with V, you find the four solutions. So if you're like, what does that mean? It just says that there is going to be four solutions without any further constraint. Well, you know this is very dangerous because there is a gauge symmetry. Yeah, consider, you can see that one, you know, using canonical quantization is already not a good idea. Canonical quantization was, we have four solutions. And you were like, what? But anyway, it's just a solution index. Normally, I don't even put that as the photon. I'll just write it as an in. You're going to be having some photon coming in, which has a solution. And you have a photon coming out, going out, has a solution.
Don't people say that's like the polarization?
Yeah.
But then is lambda then like polarization index?
Right, you can call that. But then there is also the time polarization. What is time polarization? So you know, canonical quantization, we are trying to argue very hard as you have the time polarization and the longitudinal polarization, but they are not a physical, and then they will do something, try to make them disappear. And how they do that is where Dan, a lot of other people, and everybody wrong upon. So that's why I'm not teaching you to canonical quantize. So this is already, like you can see, like there's lots of a problem about this theory, including that there are way more solutions than we needed.
What are the constraints that like take them down?
I mean, mostly you do this, right? Do some gate fixing and say something. But this is actually not enough. This is you impose this at the classical level. And then you have to impose it at the quantum level too. So if you want to learn how to canonical quantization of Maxwell, you can read the notes. I didn't take it out, it's still there. And if you want to learn, well, you have to learn the parsed integral version, then you can wait until your friends will tell you. Yeah?
I have a question back to earlier, please. The U is the solution to the Dirac equation.
Times the plane wave, yes.
Ah, okay.
But the people normally just say U is a solution because we have relied on plane wave too long to remember that it exists. Okay.
We showed using Weinberg's way of little curve.
Yeah.
Spinners correspond to spin half particles.
That's right. And Weinberg has another section that says you can make a photon out of that, of the vector representation. And I'm definitely not going to talk about it because I haven't read it. Yes, Weinberg can, also Weinberg even have a section that's even beyond these three representations for all possible representations, how to make the field. There's a section on that. And there's also a section on, like if you go with massless particle and consider helicity one, and he shows that you can't build a photon out of it. So a photon is really a spin one particle with mass. Yeah, it's crazy. Chapter 5, all the treasure buried there. Okay, so now I'm just going to show you why canonical quantization or any sort of quantization is going to run into trouble, because now we're talking about the gauge theory. The first thing I want to invite you is to calculate the momentum, right? That's very important for canonical quantization. And what is the momentum for this A0? You look at this and that. Remember, it's anti-symmetric.
Zero.
Well, momentum zero is not very good. You can't impose any sort of a commutator with it. You impose it, you get zero. But it's not supposed to be zero. So, right, there's all sorts of problem. And the other problem is that you can rewrite your your Lagrangian. Remember that, okay, I'll just write to the momentum space side because I don't know the minus. So you can sort of write your Klein-Gordon Lagrangian like that. It's like there's a phi, and you move all the differential operator in the middle and go to momentum. That's not going to cancel the propagator. Right? You can do this. So you have some partial nu, some other partial mu, but then you can integrate it by parts, and the partial mu and the partial mu make together, become a box. So of course you can do this with this. And if you do this, this is the first term meet with the first term in that. And then you're like, I'm familiar with this. I can just bring, don't be too picky with my minus signs. Okay, here is a minus sign, maybe. I'm just waving my hands really hard so I can give you the result.
Sorry, I didn't catch. What are we doing right now?
Now we're going to turn this Lagrangian into a form that looks like that. Has all the field on the side and with a differential operator in the middle.
Why are we doing that?
Because remember, I must have said that the differential operator, like a propagator, is the inverse of that differential operator.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. But which is also evidently true because we actually solved the propagator and realized that it's the Green's function of the differential operator.
And that's our differential operator?
That is our differential operator.
That's like, wait, why is that our differential operator? It's like the Dirac equation, but with two fields on the side. Like what?
That's not a Dirac equation. That's a Klein-Gordon.
Oh.
That's something you're very familiar with.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
What's that
person? Wait, why do we have two fields on the sides?
Because your original Lagrangian have two fields. How is the integral parts going to change the number of the field? This is the Lagrangian. If you look at it, this is the equation.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to do is to turn that Lagrangian into something like that. And then there are only two cases. One case is when the first this kind meets this kind. The other case is this kind meets that kind. Okay, so this, if you bring it in, then you get this. And this can't be exceptionally hard to combine them and write the differential operator together. Just use some of your metric, you should be able to combine it. So this now is our differential operator for Maxwell.
Wait, sorry, is that an eta?
That's a metric because now you have a nu. That's not going to be able to get it in. So you have to use some metric tricks. Well, so we want to invert this operator because this is the differential operator. What kind of problem could we run when you try to invert an operator? It's not the invertible. so it's really easiest to see if you're in momentum space and you're like, I'm a differential operator in momentum space. I want to act on some function, and then you can check. This function fits the bill. So this operator sometimes acting on something that gives you zero, and this is a clear sign of a not invertible thing. And this is one, this is a problem even in, path integral, and they will do something else to fix it. But the point is, you have to do something to fix it because it's not invertible.
Why is there a k nu outside the bracket?
This is just what this differential operator in momentum space acting on some function. I only need to find one function to make it a zero to make it a not invertible. Like if you want to be invertible, you have to be able to act on every single thing and produce a non-zero result. As soon as you run into zero, you're like, oh crap. Inverting this operator is not going to help. So what the people end up doing is a bunch of things. So first they say, I'm going to add a zero to my Lagrangian. What? I mean, you can add a zero, right? Why not? Add a zero.
That's
it, the gauge fixing condition, and again, it's zero. So who cares? So you add on to the Lagrangian, and you do some like all sorts of manipulations, throw away some boundary term, and then you get something what I call the cute Lagrangian. No, it's really cute. I must be missing a sign, but I'll fix the sign later. So when you do all that, you're like, phew. So there's going to be minus 1/2 whatever in front that I'm missing. But the point is, let me just do this and save my embarrassment of not remembering it. Point is, it's very cute. Why is this very cute?
It's symmetrical.
It's symmetric.
It's symmetric, and all the indices are contracted.
The index is always contracted, cute or not, if you want to be valid.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to keep writing, and hopefully this reminds you of something, okay? What? Glenn Gordon, look! We somehow go through all kind of crap, and arrived at a 4 Glenn Gordon field. What? This can't be true. Of course it's not true. It's just that you have hidden some other mess that you can't deal with to later. And the later part is the part I'm refusing to tell you, and you can look into the notes.
I'm part of the, like the math part of the Klein-Gordon.
Oh, it's a messless Klein-Gordon because we started with a messless photon. You kind of just get a mess out of nowhere.
Yeah, fair enough,
right? Then I can finally write on the thing I want to write. This is very handy. The result, well, you can also write a momentum. It's always good to write a momentum. Yeah, this one, I'll write them. It's always good to keep track of where your external momentum is, or internal, But I hope you are not super surprised. This photon propagator is given by a Klein-Gordon operator and with something to fix the index for Klein-Gordon field.
Wait, sorry. What's this mu goes to v? Sorry.
So this is the propagator. And if you are a photon, then you have an incoming information of index. You have outgoing information of index. It's just like our fermion field. You have an incoming index, outgoing index. Your propagator must have both index.
Oh.
And, I mean, this can't be so surprised, right? This is the Klein-Gordon operator. And there's an eta. I mean, what else can I do? I need a mu nu index.
Just move the board a little bit.
Yep. And that's all I want to say today, is that the wave with my hands really hard so that you can accept. Well, this one is very right. This is not a waving hand. This one, if you stick into the LHC, it's also very right. But that is just waving hands. And then you have to if you want to really canonically quantize it, and you should start with the cute Lagrangian, find your Hamiltonian, and find your momentum, you know, go to the canonical process. And then you'll find some problem.
Why did you write the propagator at the end?
It's a 4 Klein-Gordon. Like 4 Klein-Gordon. This part tells me it's a Klein-Gordon. This tells them that they are independent. But you can read the notes. I have the entire chapter devoted to get that thing out correctly. So read the notes. What kind of question you have?
About adding that gauge.
Yeah.
I remember you said that whenever you have.
Yeah. That's why you have all hell get loose. When you write that propagator, you have a time component of photon, what that's supposed to mean. You have a longitudinal photon, what that's supposed to mean. So in the end, you have to fix that problem. Yeah.
My question was because I remember you said that whenever you have a in Lagrangian, it has to come with gauge freedom, otherwise you're not dealing with photon.
Right, you're not dealing with photon. This is not a photon. So photon is not a 4 independent Klein-Gordon field. If it's that, then it's like it will make our life so much easier. And you can just write a photon as 4 Klein. Yeah, this is not. I'm just saying that if you do this, you can get the propagator. And then keep in mind, this is not a photon. This is not a photon. I need to do something, turn it into a photon. Right? Yeah.
1/2 factor is determined by Lagrangian.
Yeah, I know. There's got to be a 1/2 something. But look how many factors I skipped, so I'm not going to be too concerned by a 1/2. All a minus, all an I.
This is true only in the Lorentz gauge, right?
This is true only in the Lorentz. This is not even true in the Lorentz. It's yes, very good. It's called the Feynman gauge, and you can even write down the photon propagator in the general gauge. And no, I don't remember that propagator, and I don't want to remember. That's right. So it's only in that gauge. You can. It's only in that gauge you can write the propagator like. So yeah. With lots of hand waving, but this works. If you use these Feynman rules, which are all in your paper, it will good. So now I'm just gonna read some stuff because I like to read stuff in the class, as you might realize. While I'm reading, just let the chaotic happen. Move to your teammates. At least every team has one member knows what your teammate. So you are in charge of gathering people together. Okay? Well, I'm just reading some stuff. I see. It's time.
No, is here.
You're going to meet that like
you're two.
You guys, they can also go to
any. Okay. Never mind. I'll read the stuff, then you will move. Sorry. Because I feel that I can't cover that amount of noise. So it's time. And Dan says, for what? You look serious. I thought we can finally play the game. Happy times. It's not a game. Our elite scientists are in danger. Aliens have captured them. You and your teammates are our only hope. Oof. What do we need to do? We have found the location of their captivation, and we need to broadcast this information for help. Then the aliens would know too. We can encode it in matrix elements of Feynman diagrams. They would not suspect a thing. If you see so. This is the year 2200, and Earth has been invaded and occupied by aliens of unknown origins. Okay, so now you move and I give you, last instruction before you move. When you draw a fine diagram, most important, let people know where your time go, okay? And try to keep it the same process. Remember our 4 experiment lists, don't move them. Next, try to draw all diagrams. you will be evaluated on this all thing. All correct diagrams. And then remember the trick. Some people argue with me about this trick, but this trick is a good trick. But there are three channels, and you should check if there are diagramming all the channels. Okay, now it's time to move. If you don't have a pen, I have a bunch of pens. Okay? And I will just throw a bunch of paper to you guys. Okay, just pass it around. I'll give it to your teammates. So team formations. See if you can get it on in, I don't know, 5 minutes, 2 minutes. Move to the questions. I'll give you the questions. There are actually no questions. So I will describe the game. This is the project named Feynman Telegram. And this is the project that you will learn Feynman rules application. I don't know if you're going to learn where they come from, but they will get you to be fluent.
Yes.
On writing down matrix element.
Thank you.
You will be fluent because the telephone mechanism. Okay, so let me start. I'm not going to give you a break because afterwards it's all within your team. I'm not talking anymore unless you want me to talk. Like it will be more tutorial style. So if your whole team says, let's take a break, take a break. I'm not stopping you. Okay, let me describe what happens. Everybody has a piece of paper and a pen.
Yes.
And so can you remember you would do the first two steps together and take a picture and send it to me. And I'll send it to you too. Okay. And so step one, okay, all have pen and paper?
Yes.
Everybody in the group needs to have a pen and a paper. So we'll start with Yukawa. Yeah, all the Feynman rules are on your paper. I said that I don't expect anybody to remember any Feynman rules. So Yukawa, what do Yukawa has? It has a scalar, and it has a fermion, and it has scalar, has fermion bar, and has fermion bar, fermion bar, fermion bar. I'm just writing down everything that's possible going to happen. Very good. So now you have a die, and he says six size, right? And that's the six process. So your step one is to use your die to select a process. I can label them for you. And don't tell anybody except yourself. Okay?
So every single person in the group gets a process?
That's right. That's why everybody gets a die. Right? Okay. Do not tell anybody. It's a secret process. And after you determine your process, you should write on your paper on the top and fold it like that. And it will be covered at all time until the end.
Wait, what?
Write your process in the very top of your paper.
When you say the process, do you mean a whole diagram or?
No, just this.
Yeah, okay.
It's everything is a scattering. So when you know the initial, you know the final. Okay, this is the initial and the final, because they are equal. That's what we call the scattering. So once you have your process, write it on your paper and fold. Fold hard because they are secret. And in the future, you are not supposed to pick what's in the secret, even if it's not a fold hard. You're doing right now.
Just
26? Yeah. Well, in your group project, there will be like 24, but let's start with six, okay?
Do you have an extra Feynman rules?
Huh. I have some.
with a rubric.
Oh my god.
So, yes, you have a page of Find My Rule and a page of rubric. The group project will be evaluated by me based on that rubric. Okay? So, yeah? We're good? We're good. Okay, so now I'll give you instructions, but you are not going to do when I give you instructions, because each step will take way longer than writing a thing folded. Okay, after you do the initial step, which is very important, that is to hide information, then the first thing you do is to draw diagrams, all possible diagrams. Okay, listen to me and don't draw them. Draw diagrams after you think you complete. Pass to the left.
We shouldn't have our name on our paper, should we?
You can have name. That's yeah, you should.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully it's clear enough that we don't need a name, but the names are good. Names are good. Very good, especially if you put it on your homework. Do you know how many hours I try to decipher whose homework is whose? And we can use that hours to develop a new game. That's how long it is. That's how long it is.
Sorry, which order are we drawing the diagrams?
Draw that diagrams in whichever order you want. You have it doesn't have an order. This diagram.
To leading order?
Oh, to leading order. That's right. Okay. If you want to carry it to the next level, I'm not going to stop you. Okay? But today we're going to do leading order. And then?
Is this 2 to 2 implicitly?
It's always 2 to 2. All your projects will be 2 to 2. And so don't draw the diagram, pass to the left. But then, after you pass the left, imagine you get something. It will be having diagrams. So pick one diagram and then write down the M stand for matrix element. Okay? And fold, you want to fold to hide the diagram. So when you pass any information, it should be the thing you write down. If it's something you got, you need to fold your paper to hide that information too. Okay, and then pass to the left. If you hate the left, then you can pass to the right. But you should be consistent. Anyway, the point is, the last step is the best part, right? So at this point, you would imagine you got some matrix element. Stare it until you can tell me what the process it is. Okay? To produce a process out of that.
Step 2, okay, so you take one diagram, we write the matrix element,
and
then
you hide what information you get. This is the instruction all the time.
Okay.
If you receive some diagram, you should hide it. Mm-hmm. When you pass something, it's only what you immediately.
Okay, so we're playing telestration.
That's right. That's exactly the game we're playing. And I also have the game, you can borrow. Okay?
When you say process, do you mean like which one of these options or what?
Yeah.
Find my diagram?
No, process. This is what you're trying to get. Okay? And you can see that when I gave you 4 different Lagrange and they each have 6 choices, it will be 24 possible choices.
And those are the 2 initial particles that are going in?
So yeah, these are the initial and the final, because it's a scattering. There's no something like creation, annihilation, no, just scattering. The leading order is always just 2 straight lines. Do not draw that one. Don't draw identity for me. It has to have some interaction going on. Okay, is the instruction clear?
Yeah.
Okay, the idea.
Step 2 again. So after
drawing diagrams.
No. You draw a diagram, you pass. Somebody else will write your amplitude. You write to somebody else's amplitude.
So I'm not going to hide the diagram?
No, you will hide.
After you draw the amplitude, you write the amplitude.
Yeah.
But I'm not drawing. But I'm not writing the amplitude down. I'm just drawing the diagram. Somebody else has to.
But you will do this all together.
First of all.
Okay. But I have to see your diagram.
Exactly. That's why after you write your amplitude, hide the diagram. Okay. So any question about the game mechanism?
So we only have one interaction.
I can write you all the rest. If you feel confident, then you can directly go to QED. Yeah. Just sort of get a feeling that how this works. But then, of course, I hope that before the class ends, you will try QED too. And which explains why I wave my hand so hard to give you the timer.
Yeah, we'll go higher order. Well, I think we all do our diagrams for everything, and then we all pass to the left. Maybe we should pass to the left and they'll guess each other's.
Oh, is that how
I think so.
Oh, so it's one method.
No, I think we can all do our and then we just go.
Okay, that's all the interactions if you want.
Should we establish a notation for time? Up or down? Or up or sideways? Up. Up. Good.
Yep.
Wait. What?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
I'm looking
for Soviet theory.
All the
scholars, quotients, and
fermions. Yes, but for now, there is.
So scholars do not interact with quotients for all of theory, but fermions interact with both the scholars and quotients.
That's right, but we're going to pick one theory and ignore the rest of the interaction.
Just Yukawa?
At this point, just Yukawa.
We have no quotients now.
No, we have no photons, and the photons will add, but the point is, I'm not considering the Lagrangian to be the addition of those four interactions. That will what we will do in the tutorial, but they are all independent.
Wait, this doesn't make sense.
Okay, so.
How is it playing this game? Because it is necessarily a
three. You gotta check all the channels.
That's right. The Ken is gonna play with me, and he would write both of the first cup. I'll just be staring at the matrix and see if it make any sense. That's exactly what we're trying to do. Like, if you do something wrong, your teammate will catch you and says, "I can't proceed with this." Like, if you draw a diagram with all the arrows that are fitting together, you'll be like, right? So when you play the game, you can talk as much as possible to your team as necessary. But the group project is evaluated at one time. You include all possible series separately when there's no talking about the diagram. You can talk about, weather, bistro food, but just not talk about this project. And then it somehow goes through a whole cycle, and there's no mistakes. And everybody guessed the process, and there's...
Then we do it until that happens?
You do that until that happens. That's when that first happened, you can already submit your three papers, and I'll look at it.
Okay.
But I can try to write down the process.
Sure.
Okay.
You have to show that.
I don't want to write something like that.
example, F4, F4, FF, F.
You don't always need
F. Yeah.
Oh, so for example, for F.
Maybe with two formulas.
These are incoming. So for example, if X fermion can come in, this is your problem. Can you do this thing? Can you do anything?
Please, don't.
Because was lambda cyborg.
Huh?
Because was lambda cyborg.
Phi?
Lambda phi.
People says it's negative.
Wait. But, can I ask something?
Yeah, also, I'm just checking that the Spaniard didn't send me.
Okay.
It's only there, bring Song in.
But if that is the case, uh-huh. The process like this, I just don't want it to open my process. It's a process like this.
Yeah? What?
We'll always have a zero.
What?
Because it would be, so for example, the structure would be 4 plus. One of you. They can connect this and this,
yeah.
This and this, but then can't connect this.
No, then go to the second one.
Now I go to the second one.
Yeah.
So how many frames? I have one.
Fermions
will
be always okay. They are all bilinear. Fermions would be definitely okay. They're bilinear.
Wait. I don't understand, I guess.
Your interaction is always bilinear.
Okay. I go to second order, which is this.
I don't know.
I don't see how this. So this is fine.
Yeah.
But then this, I don't understand how this works. Because these will just.
Why would they contract it with themselves? That wouldn't be very good. Then you get a.
Exactly. So I want to contract, but I only have two external dice.
They are not at the same point. To insert two vertex.
I understand.
They can interact with.
I know.
But these things can interact with each other.
That's not a very good, but yeah. There is two. Those two separate lines can interact with
each
other.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the same thing for scalars.
Huh?
Is it the same thing for scalar field theories?
That's right.
Okay. Sorry.
I think that's where. Let's use your 5 cube homework as an example. This is how this line comes from.
Yeah, it's so cheap.
How did you make it so you start? Because I'm thinking of.
Okay. Yeah, you don't really need to draw that one. You only need to draw this one. And figure out if you're missing some arrows, if there's any way, other way to draw another one at this order.
Okay, I think that would be by switching this.
Okay, you need to fix your arrows first.
Well, it's a.
What? What theory are you working with?
Scalar, scalar, scatter, number six.
Oh, but then the thing in the middle would be off. No, you see, that's the thing. Your vertex is a 5 per sidebar.
Right, so yeah, so these
see,
wouldn't work.
Exactly.
I would only have.
See, you don't have this process.
Only have this.
You don't have a vertex that has 2 scalar, 2 1 firm yet.
But none.
You have to draw some other diagram that reflects this. Remember then 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4 three channels? This channel is not working. There's another channel.
I believe you.
I have a question.
Yeah.
When we're
leaving
the spin,
yeah.
Is it
different
spin? So
it's
like R1 and
R2. That's right.
And it's harder to write it.
It's a standard to. Not write it, but they do exist.
I'm having a confusion about the Yukawa interaction because I thought that you had to have a
But if you draw it, for example, like the inner one, they both have to be fermion.
Depends on how you look, right? You can sort of rotate your diagram. And so the only thing, the only requirement, that, what do you say, the fermion thing, is that when you happen to have time going up and go this way. But what
okay, so
really
important,
right? But for this one, so then that's some way to think about it. But the important thing is as long as your arrow, yeah. Your arrow is conserved, and then you will guarantee you're guaranteed always to be able to match this.
Right. And then I'm also confused about how to make this work. Do we have to do these loops?
No, we did. Just remember the 1, 2, 1, 3 reason. That just means the 3 and the 4.
Okay, but we can't have it.
That's right. That just
said. Had two scalar.
Yeah, but they don't have to immediately meet. You assume. Yeah.
But then we have
But if you merge them together, oh, 2 scalar. Wow. Okay, you got the hard one.
Oh no, I didn't get that one. I was just thinking about it.
Oh,
I was
this
so
one.
I was
this one is very hard, and this is the correct answer after you labeled it.
Yeah. It's the hardest process on the board.
Well, no, the photon is the hardest. This is the second hardest because you have to have so many things to make it work. But you just, you know, draw
some other diagrams of this order.
There is.
Now we have four vertices.
Exactly, it's a sort of like. But the rest of the diagram happen to be what they achieve is swapping some internal, the external legs. And this here that goes there, that gives you a different.
That's fine.
Do I agree with you? Why would you have your momentum? Where's your time axis?
Yeah.
Time is on the thing.
Or it's a scalar external leg.
One. That's why I didn't write it. This one I remember.
And why would you have going backwards?
Because of the definitions?
No, momentum should always be flowing in the direction.
No?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
What?
I'm can switch the sign.
But
just need
but
to
if you look at
the
sign,
I'll just look at this sign.
Yeah,
no,
right.
That
antiferm,
one you need to write the matrix element.
One of them goes that way.
Like,
yeah,
you do find the rules.
Time.
So, like, associating.
Right.
So, for example, for this,
so,
yes,
like, you would. You would associate, like, for scalar, there's one incoming from.
This arrow here with antiformia, depending
on the online,
okay.
This element,
incoming,
and then each one.
Yeah, but you.
Are we only
doing
yes.
Is that
the
if you talk about amplitude, only landed
this
diagram really.
This is the internal vertex. See, this is a V bar.
It's sort of an exponential situation. If you expand this, you'll get all the disconnected diagram. Because disconnected diagram is nothing but a connect and a connect, and this thing is called a disconnect. And this is, well, very soon, I'll just say.
This is
week 2, by the week 2 of your QFT2, you will see this.
Your momentum is going to
the end of week 2.
So this indicates the end.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got it.
So what I'm guessing is that's right.
Yes, exactly the reverse. Yes. Yes, and also this thing.
Oh, never mind.
Okay.
Yeah, and make sure you label that feature.
Yeah.
On the internal properties.
Talks about how you can have frustrated fermions. Like
yeah.
So if one of these was an error on time. Mm-hmm.
So if time.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that differently. So anti-fermion will the error will go the other way.
You just need to write out how many
are there. Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's very right. If you put the momentum on, and the anti-fermion has to always keep this fermion lines, not.
Yeah.
What if you put an incoming?
Okay, beautiful.
Okay, wait.
I'm writing my own thing again.
And then it's not okay.
These are my own diagrams.
And then that diagram is just there. Yeah, violated.
What's the reason? Because like for this case, we for fermions we argued that the problem was this is zero.
Uh-huh.
But in this case, we have.
And then the next person has to write the diagram based on the matrix element.
Oh, really, right? The income.
I did not understand.
I have to write down the mode expansion for me to function.
Okay,
where's things I don't care. And if you have an incoming fermion, so it's a Psi bar.
And
if you have an outgoing anti fermion, still Psi bar. Because C acting on the left active vacuum gives you an
that's just to say that that's the actual error.
Yes.
I guess it's like I need to read the diagram.
It might not.
I would say that when I first learn how to draw a diagram, I will draw something.
This is not correct.
That are not diagrams, but that's the part of learning.
Sorry.
I don't think anybody just learned diagram. They just draw perfect diagrams.
Okay then.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You decide as long as the formula is a circle. You can do any way you want it. Just not you see. As long as you don't like two people are passing at the other person who's like, what about me? Oh, if you as challenging as that, then you would be like a so. Oh, I think there's 1 year they did it with six people. Yes?
I was going through the notes, and in here you have. When you look at the colors, you see it.
That doesn't have an arrow. Pardon my drawing skills, but if it doesn't have an arrow, it's a.
Oh, okay.
And even worse, this filter become a photon because I don't know the thing I'm drawing is the LaTeX thing doesn't work with me. It just refused to produce me a photon. So in the future you will see those lines become a photon. And I designed not frustrated with that whatever package.
Have to
the
arrow.
This
questions?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Because this arrow, they're not supposed to be able to
see. Wait.
Yes.
This we have.
Wait. This is two scalar.
Two scalar.
Very good. That's
little much.
No, it's just I don't know where the photon comes.
Well, it's an allowed vertex.
Oh, that's right. But I want to keep the project a little simpler.
Okay.
So we are only allowed to when you well. Okay. In the future, you'll be throwing a die, picking a process, picking a theory, and then throw a die, picking a process, so that you wouldn't have to use all the vertices.
Okay.
But we will do that this afternoon in the tutorials.
Okay. Sounds good. So I'll just write the matrix that way.
No, now you pass because you have the diagram.
Yes. But like only this one, you'll have to complete these ones.
This? No.
Good.
Okay.
I'll make them.
Can I
ask a
question?
Yep.
So there's
there's different conventions for whether the point is the extrema or it's the vertex. Right?
The point is the vertex.
That's the point. But this is an incoming antifermion. Why is the point?
No, no,
it's the vertex is on
no,
this
no,
side.
Look at the moment.
So what is this arrow?
That's the fermion charge arrow. So the charge arrow will be frustrated with momentum to tell you it's an antec. It's like you can think about in QED, it's easy. You can think about that there's an electric charge flowing, and then we use these arrows to track where the electric charge is.
So for a fermion, you draw the point here, but for an antifermion, you draw it here.
No, the anti, see this, this is the antifermion?
Yes.
You look at the momentum. The momentum is still going
towards the point, so it's still going in. So
exactly.
The charge, like fermion.
Exactly.
So the point is always the vertex.
Okay.
The point is always the vertex.
When you draw the vertex elements, you fold over the diagram.
Wait.
So the only thing that I have for these things are
right.
Fermions going sideways. How do you tell if it's a fermion or an antifermion? Or do you have to table it?
No, we don't know what it is.
Okay.
So this you have to think of it.
But yeah, because you can label momentum however you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally you label the momentum going together with the time. I mean, if it's straight,
yeah.
Who knows?
Okay.
Who knows?
Some boson. Then the spin index of this.
So this will be the
I know which is going to be.
Also, I think I have.
You don't have to worry about
it. What do you do with
it? Let me think.
Oh, you can.
It's the contraction of that thing is the contraction of the fuel.
Oh, this is the internal problem. Oh, my God. Where's the boson? Oh, it's got a problem.
Which field you're
constructing?
So if you follow propagation,
so it makes more sense.
You want
incoming has the.
But if you look at this, you have like the psi bar, contraction of psi and psi bar.
Basically, it's like.
Psi has u bar?
It's like whenever you have.
Because this is how you
whenever you have an arrow that's in a direction.
This is your
vertex.
And
you get something without bar. Whenever you have an arrow that's.
But these are not the same momentum.
Without bar.
No.
No.
No. No. No. No. See, this does not equals to. No, this is not a P plus M. It's the inner product. It's the other one. It's the M one. Maybe 2M.
So if you.
Like you have it. When PY is equals P2, then you're doing inner product of two things that at a different same momentum, it give you some orthogonal relationship, but a different momentum, we have no idea what it is. That's right. So what we're now going to discuss is how to compute the M square. Once you do this, what the people does is say, oh, come on. Experimentally, it's very hard to produce this thing to be the same. Then what they do is called something like it. Average the incoming and the sum of the output. Yeah, that's discussed in the chapter before we normalize. Is how to handle with all these R1, S1, R2, S2 things. to turn them into something reasonable. But what I can tell you is, quickly, is if you have something like this, but you are multiplying by its dagger, because the square, that this guy is going to meet its dagger, which has the same momentum, that would be simplified. And this one will meet its dagger, which will also, because when you take a dagger, momentum is the same.
Are these bees or bees?
Okay. Let me see. Okay, let me just understand. Yeah. This thing has U bar.
But because we always remember the interesting rule about a fermion line, we always go from bar to m bar. If you follow that rule, you will never be have a chance to use the other. Because
you should have put the bars on the other ones.
What?
Okay, sir. I have to draw.
I said.
Okay, this works. So the idea is that you will always write from this to this, and then you will always go this direction, because that's the only direction that you will be getting a number out of. This is the only direction you can write your matrix element that will give you something Lorentz invariant, which is what we want for scattering amplitude. And if you follow this rule, if the direction you write the rule is always going against the arrow, because that's the route you decide. So your route. A matrix element is always opposite.
So then you have to for you comment where you should the
of your arrow.
I found out
scalar.
And you're like
so this thing.
That's right.
Ah.
is you tap one. You have, you know this part.
I mean, if you completely draw the street, but of course nobody can tell. So you would either draw it, if you want to be able to tell, you either draw like that, or draw like this, so that there is a sense of a direction of time. Then you can say this is a fermion, that's an antifermion. But the people always destroy the street. Just it's the same propagate. Because this direction is always, they can draw like that way, the direction is against the flow. You can draw this way, and the direction is against the B is boson. Oh,
we have three possibilities for 2D.
Well, there are no. Because the propagator is
in our ideal world, that those theories don't talk to each other, so our life is simple. But today in the afternoon, we will see that what happens when life is not simple, and you have more all kinds of interactions. But in the project, I want to keep it simple, so they are all like independent of each other.
Fermion, it's got to be. QED vertex. What is the QED vertex? So the QED vertex is A.
It should be on that piece of paper, no?
What is, like, you call a vertex is this, right? Like, what is the key? Like, what are the things that come in and out?
Right. There.
Yes.
Upper left.
So that's your go-to QED vertex, which has fermion, antifermion, and a photon?
That's right. It's like a Yukawa, but you change it into a photon, but your vertex is more complicated because there is a gamma matrix left. The QED is significantly problematic.
Yeah.
Like in terms.
So I'm trying to explain the arrows to Jessica, but I'm not sure how to best explain. Also, I think this makes more sense drawn like this. But because you want in your diagrams, you always have the vertex for incoming, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm struggling to explain this.
And the particles are symmetric, they go back. And the calculations.
Sure.
I mean, I understand.
Sure. Yeah, this is I choose a weird time direction.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. So
this makes more sense with time going forward, right?
Okay. So it's anti-fermion incoming. Right, so these two diagrams. See, you can see I'm lazy that I made a copy of that. I should make sure that the time goes the same direction if I can. Yeah, I'll fix this later. I'll write it down so I can fix
it.
Yeah. For two scatter. The middle.
I'm going to take a pen.
So the squiggly lines are scalars, they're not photons. Then I would get this, I believe.
Okay. I thought you were gonna pass this on.
I will. I'm gonna fold this and then pass this to the next person.
Yeah, but you draw this diagram yourself.
No.
Oh.
This is Dawid's.
Ah,
yes.
Very good. Very. I'm just trying to explain the
antifermion. So we get
right.
The V bar. This is the propagator.
They don't have to be the same.
Same R?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It might not be. No, I think this will be K. Oh. Because when you pass on to. You write it down, but you are about to pass.
Yes. So I'll fold this and then pass this.
Then you might want to
put
this
good
in.
Good call, good call, yes.
But that's right.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, yeah.
That's right.
I guess.
That's right. So
can we.
No. Why would it be the same? Because their external leg all carry momentum. Anything would carry momentum, no? It doesn't have to be a scalar. If it's a scalar, if it's a fermion, they will all carry momentum. Then you have to think about, this is going to be really hard to write out.
You have
this would be the second hardest, right?
Yeah.
The hardest things is QED, two photon.
Oh yeah.
Because
really?
Because your vertex will become
photon scattering.
Photon scattering.
Wow.
Is ridiculously hard to write down the matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yes, you have to take into account the momentum taking in, and to remember the most important thing when you have a loop is you have a loop rule. Is that loop rule?
So that's an internal loop with fermions.
And then there is this important line.
Yes.
That's important, of course. Like what else would come out but a minus?
Yes,
right?
Yes,
and this is understandable because if you have a loop, fermions only meet fermions, and you
yes.
have a bunch of a spinner index so that you kind of get rid of. That's very bad.
Okay.
But they are in cycles.
Right.
So they are like a tree.
You have to do like two processes.
Wild, yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
Okay, so we
Do we have to do like space? Oh yeah, that's the whole project is to the one that you submit has to be use a die to pick a thing, and use another die to pick a process, and they are both hidden. And even worse, all couplings are epsilons. We kind of tell from the coupling constant. And then, yeah, it'll be very more complicated. It's basically, you could get, what you get from your teammate, it could be 1 out of 24 process.
Well, let me just put these.
That is important. I don't remember if it's draft or not draft, but that information, like on the portal, there'll be more specific instruction. Today, I just want people to get this mechanic going. The whole project, yeah, and after you this, and as long as you can reach one time, that nobody gave extra information, and all information passed by paper, and everybody guessed what's the process, you're pretty fluent. Like, this is, I have years of experience, not too many years, but it does show that. My end point is okay, but like there was 1 year, there's a group that did 6 person.
Oh,
that's like very intense.
For fermions and fermions, are these the same diagrams or are these different processes?
These are a very good question. It is a very common confusion. Is that once you accept the process, if you say the experimentalist number one has a anti-fermion and experimentalist two has a fermion, then you kind of switch what they have.
Oh.
Because remember, they're all infinite apart.
Okay, I see. So this is actually something else.
Yeah, this is like for what? Well, my point is, these two are not the same process.
Okay.
If you write it like this, I would assume this is what you want.
I see.
I'm not sure to see.
Okay. So this is a diagram, but it's not for this.
I see.
Yes.
We
can all do time going
up. According to Vu, we are only interested in the external legs for fermions, right? Not the QED like photon.
No. Of course not. Yes. That, yeah. I need to emphasize that. Yeah.
You should move this way. But then if you move this way, then you can but then the next person I flip is
No, hide the diagrams. It's very hard to do the other way.
If you, the
hide the diagrams, but like, you see, if you hide the matrix,
I already saw this.
I see. Very good.
So are we gonna
yeah.
And this, we need to propagate it for this, and for this, right?
Nope.
Wait, what?
There's no external propagator. Only the propagator, the internal propagator will give timeline.
Of course there is an external propagator.
The external, right, remember there is a Dirac operator.
Yeah.
They eat external propagator.
Yeah, this is really annoying.
Okay, so you're gonna toss the minus one, and then
six. Okay. So what I meant is 3n and larger than 1.
Yeah.
Like you put the two teams together to do it? Yeah, it's a very
this
fun
goes to this
upgrade.
Thing, and this goes to that
see,
thing.
See,
trick or treat means you decided to not use any of this theory and hook up a theory. It's like a trick or treat.
That's
more like a trick.
Because your W.
You can trick your teammate. Yeah, your teammate.
Look at this and guess the theory.
What process is this?
What?
No, those are some random upgrades you can do. You don't have to do it.
But this is the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing.
This three is working.
Oh my God.
You have to keep the extra.
But you're changing into from an answer.
No,
the
label. Yeah, so this.
Yeah.
Just a bad vertex?
That's
it.
But we don't have an interaction.
Oh wait, you have a higher level.
You can
yeah.
You're saying
yeah, you would have higher
external legs, but is the minus sign that multiplies the
order? Wait. What the minus sign? There are way too many minus signs.
Yeah.
Wait.
Other week.
Source
by the external.
Right. So those minus signs. The idea is how this is gonna work, like without consider any interactions, because all our interactions are bilinear. They just put it and they introduce. They're all in pairs. And maybe one will introduce minus, but if you introduce pairs, then somehow they cancel. Like I did it. For a few process that is not too laborious to look at a weak contraction, they work it out. It's very interesting. And I found it's, maybe I can prove it. Okay, I have to look into some notes I wrote before. Maybe I proved it. If you want, I can prove it, but it's not gonna be this week.
What is it that we're proving?
We're proving that this minus sign rule is correct.
So the actual weight contraction would look like you would have this.
Yeah, some extra. So the real one normally will come with a this at x and this at y, right? And that means the actual contraction is all involving the external legs and the external legs to do this weak contraction. But my claim is this is a pair and this is the pair and it's not going to change my. But I haven't. Oh my God. I should at least remember, did I prove it all? But. Well, I might. Anyway.
You're not saying that these diagrams kind of.
That's right. That's what I might claim is that you can ignore all these expansion and only contract to the external leg to figure out the mind. Maybe in my dream I play back. I have no idea. I have this very thin memory of that I have done it. Anyway, I'll do it again. Maybe that's something else.
I think this thing is not different.
To make me, I can use induction. It's like introduce one pair of fermions. I mean, that is so easy to prove. And I try to say, if I introduce n minus one pair of fermions, that's going okay. And then I can try to figure out what happens to the extra pair. And then that'll be a proof. Okay. I'll keep it in my mind. Maybe you want to send an email to me because I think I definitely don't have time to do it today. And tomorrow, not really. I have meetings tomorrow. And Wednesday, I hope everybody comes to ask me questions. But if they don't, I'll do it on Wednesday. By the Thursday, Friday, my brain will be fried, so there's no point of doing it. So, and I decided to actually not work this
week.
So I'll do it next month. The minus sign
that comes from the fermion loops.
Uh huh.
It's the same for like get a loop like this.
Yeah.
That would also just be one minus sign.
That would be one minus sign. So for this, you can do. Actually, there is a quiz about asking about it. So the idea is, do it for this. It's a two-point function, but who cares, right? Beautiful loop. First, to think about this. And then think about it, why would it be different if there is this or this? Right? The idea is, let's figure out this. Because
this has to be
a, yeah, there's not much you can figure out from that.
So this,
that would be a minus because of that loop. Okay, you wanted me to do it? So here, there is two vertex and who cares about photon, like a scalar, right? So I'm only going to write down the. Okay, this is good, the other is not. And then you can even say, now you can, this is very easy to prove, generalize. You can write whatever you want, right? It's all your fermionic interactions always a pair. And if it's not a fermion, you can throw away because they're not a spinners. So you can just do this. It's always that one will give you the mind.
Now, for this one, we have.
I don't understand why.
I don't know what I'm laughing at.
Why does that give?
Because you have to move the psi to the beginning. That's right. Well, the one we compute and use is psi psi bar. I mean, the other one probably just has a minus sign or something. Maybe they are also a minus sign on the.
I love this change.
Because these.
Change that.
This identity is also have some minus signs, so it'll be very similar. But everybody use this one. For the reason is that if you write this as a propagator, you're gonna kill everybody. Says no, this is invariant. So everybody says we all agree to do this.
My bad, I rolled a bad dice.
Okay, since like it, we're at the time, how are we doing? You can continue doing. How are we doing? I'm just going to explain. It's going to be on the portal how exactly your project will be considered complete. And I'm going to tell you right now. So there's going to be four different series. And when you do the project, when you think you are ready to submit, you will be throwing a die for a process and throwing a die for the props. And die for theory, die for process, and all coupling constants are epsilon if you are picky, or they can be one if you're not. The point is you are not going to pass through information from different coupling, like this one is lambda, that one is lambda prime. No, no, no. You have to erase as many information as possible. So at the end, I only need one set of three pages. And when you do that one that to be submitted, there will be no discussion, no talking. You can talk about food or weather, whatever, but just not about the Feynman diagrams. All information has to be passed through with whatever you write down, which is bare minimum. No extra information. And then there only needs to be once that that all the three pages are correct. Reach that point, I'm happy and you submit them, but please don't tell me that the three people all get a Yukawa fermion. That's not gonna happen. Okay? That time had better have more than one theory. More than one, I mean two. One theory show up twice, I acknowledge. But one, well, the only one theory show up and it's Yukawa, I'll be really frowning you. And I might ask you to read it. Okay? And otherwise, I have no further requirement, but please, before you submit that, you need to check everything. There is a rubric, right? There is an extra diagram, like if your matrix element is correct, if there's missing integral, minus signs, okay? And if there is something not going well, you play the game again. Okay, that's how we learn Feynman diagram, at least how we learn Feynman diagrams after me writing down this game. But you can have upgrades. So that's the lowest, the minimum requirement. That's minimum requirement. But you can go trick or treating. Writing a theory, you don't tell your partners and continue playing the game, see if they can figure out what's your theory. Or you can make a bigger cycle. There are years they make like a cycle of six. That would be a lot tougher. It means you have to be more focused, at least two loop. We consider this loop order of the game. Okay, so it is related to a real game called the Palestration. And I can bring that a game someday. But my best moment is 1 year I bring the game for them to play at the winter school. And then one person is trying to explain how the real game works, the telescreation. And then this person gave up, says, it's like our QFT assignment. It's like our QFT game. Then, yeah, all rules understood. Yes.
Wants to pick
a theory, and then wants to pick the scattering process. You have to pick a theory.
So the dice, I'm confused. Like, so you have two numbers.
There are. Sorry.
I don't think there's a ring.
All right. Okay. This is my number system. I'm so glad that I get to teach you Chinese. Yeah, this one doesn't make any sense. But you still throw your first die to determine the theory.
Okay, so this one we just did was only for you.
That's right. And so there is detailed instruction about this project on the portal. If there is not, I'll make it available as soon as I'm able to do it. All right.